time, and I heard, you know, some grumbling about trying to meet late. So it's 1 o'clock, right? Or is it 2 o'clock? It's 2 o'clock. So the proposal is that we dedicate an hour. We're going to have 2 30-minute increments. We have some people worked over the lunch and have continued to refine the purpose language. So we want to get that purpose language up. See if we can come to closure on the purpose 2, recommendation 2. At the end of the hour, if we can't, I think maybe we check in and we might move on. Okay? At 4 o'clock, JJ is coming in to talk about the memo. People asked for that, and that's the time that he has. If you change that in your priorities, then that's, you know, up to you all. But the other thing is that over here, these stickies, if you decide to get up and walk around, the stickies represent all the remaining topics, and the red star on those stickies are the priority items out of the survey. Okay? The last wrinkle is that Christina does have to leave, and so she's working on the Purpose 7 language, which was to kind of revisit the optional and voluntary language so that it wasn't as people were stumbling over that. She has to leave at 4. So I think by 3:30, we need to go back to that Purpose 7, revisit that language with Christina before she leaves. All right? So does that sound good? We're going to do an hour. We're going to do a 30-minute increment check-in, a second 30-minute increment on Purpose 2, Recommendation 2. Then we'll see what happens. We have like 30 minutes to play with. And then at 3:30, we'll need to go, or right maybe after that, we need to go to Christina's piece, have a break, and then do the legal component. Okay? So David's getting that up there. I think, you know, where we left before the break is that we had the creative groups, which was super helpful and insightful. I know not everyone's on board with having a refined purpose too, but we are headed into the direction of a refined purpose too that is very clear that it's an ICANN purpose, right? It's very clear that it's an ICANN purpose. And so we're just giving these guys a minute to do that, and we're going to try to see if we can get to a place where we have some language we think we can all live with. We may have to sleep on it and come back to it tomorrow. I know I hate to say that, but it's probably true. Yeah. But we would move on and to some other topics.
Okay, great. So what we're going to put on the board right now, and I'm going to do a quick caveat because Stephanie came up to me 5 minutes ago saying, I have some additional language about getting rid of the purpose and putting some additional language somewhere else. So a quick caveat to that is happening. But for those who are feeling some momentum around the new Purpose 2 language, just as we were breaking for lunch, a subset of folks tried to merge A and B, the group A and B, together. And then there was some additional work just before we sat down right now about how to resolve this issue of, do we refer to SSR or do we refer just to mission and the bylaws? And what Marika can help put up in right now is what I think Christina, and sorry to call on you, is what you were trying to express. And I think it hopefully is what this group, this sort of group of folks was also trying. So let's take a quick peek at it and see if it's doing what we want it to do. Okay? Okay. So what's happening here is taking text directly from the mission statement in 1.1 of the mission statement of ICANN, and by putting that broader text in, you're not necessarily limiting it to SSR. You can also pull in those two annexes, which Chris mentioned earlier, which are important because those two annexes in the mission refer to IP and things like that. And it's directly coming out of the mission statement language, all right? I don't know if it ended up being proper English, you guys can see, or not, right? But contributing to the openness, interoperability, resilience, security, and or stability of the DNS, right? That language is textual, you know, exact language from the mission, right? In accordance with ICANN's mission, through enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests. Right? So to some degree, this is a merger of the two groups, where the one group wanted to just say bylaws and mission, the other group had SSR, And now we've found a way to put in the actual mission text that hopefully then grabs onto the issues that are important to people at the table. Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's pull back from the table just for a moment in your groups. Huddle on this for a second. Let's do a five-minute clock on this.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Or
two minutes.
2 minutes clock. Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. I like this. 2 minutes, guys. Pull back from the table.
2 minutes in your group. Talk through this proposal for purpose two.
Yeah.
In your group. Talk to your group members, please. Talk to your group. So the new version doesn't work for you guys. Okay. Okay. Sorry, you need to start the clock again, please. Maybe start it with 20 minutes. 20 minutes, because we're into our first 30-minute segment. Thank you. Okay, so I'm hearing frustration with this proposed text that's on the screen because it doesn't feel active enough, and people are missing the, like, contributing the maintenance of or ensuring the openness. They feel like it's not active enough. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, okay. So this is going to be, we're going to have to be patient. Guys, writing in real time, super challenging, so we got to be patient with each other, all right? So let's throw out a couple ideas here. I just heard folks saying, let's go back to the language around contributing to the maintenance of, right?
Or maintaining.
Yeah. Right. There's also, there's another option of starting it with ensure, right? Which is what purpose, what group is, what the group B did. Okay. Right. Okay. Yep. And Milton. Oh, great. Thanks, Caboose. Yeah. Milton. Yeah.
So, the contributing to it was actually a very accurate and precise wording that was suggested by Caboose, because it, you don't maintain all of those things solely by enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests.
Right.
So it is, we definitely want to keep that wording, and I can't see how that hurts anybody's interest to say that. And ensuring, again, that is a way big overstatement of what happens when you enable responses to lawful data.
So just to be clear, this seems like a bunch of folks feel comfortable with this language of contributing to the maintenance of, because it's a recognition that you don't own the whole thing, right? Okay. Okay, great. So we can, that's one part of our problem. The other part of our problem is what we name in terms of the pieces of the mission that we are referring to, right? That's another issue here. And there was a question mark whether it's helpful or not to have this longer phrase that gets pulled out of the mission, right? I don't know if people have a specific suggestion about if it was, if this is better or worse than just saying SSR or saying nothing at all. We need some guidance here, folks, about what you can live with, right? In Caboose, yes. Thanks.
I think we are mixing up the situation. I would like to hear formally from the people how the disclosure of the data or data elements contribute to the openness and how it contribute or maintain the interoperability. Some explanation was given, but I'm not convinced. This happened during the lunch break. We did not discuss that. And I am not very comfortable to the term openness and interoperability here, connecting that to the disclosure of information. This is paraphrasing something which I am not comfortable with, so I have difficulty to inject the openness and interoperability here in connection with the data disclosure.
Excellent.
Has nothing to do with these two things.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's exactly the right question. Why? How is that helpful? Does it create problems for us? Who's first? Benedict, why don't you jump first, and then Alex, why don't you jump into that?
I have a direct recent use case of interoperability being improved through data disclosure. So ESSAC recently did a project where we helped organizations that were using the old DNSSEC keys. So they were using an outdated version of DNSSEC, and the old keys, and that their DNSSEC implementations were going to stop working at a particular date. So we reached out to them using their name server WHOIS records to tell them that hey, you're, by the way, you're using the old keys. And that was ESAC and ICANN and my own organization doing that. So there's a direct example. I don't know much about openness, so I can't give you a use case for that, but I'm sure somebody can think of a good one. Cheers.
Alex, do you want to weigh in on this? And in part, I just want to name that adding more words was something of a hopeful nod that this would solve some of the concerns of IP and others not seeing themselves in this. So, Alex, can you speak to that?
Yeah, thanks. It's Alex. Yeah, I'm painfully aware that that this impasse. I think we're really close, and I'm painfully aware that this impasse is now coming down to, you know, satisfying or kind of giving me some. Making me more comfortable with regard to ensuring that IP interests are included in this, and I appreciate Christina's attempt and others' attempts to get to that point. It's not clear to me that just by adding openness and interoperability does that. I'm not a lawyer. I've drafted some other texts which actually explicitly that takes more of the text from the bylaws and adds it to this mission. Whether that's going to help or not, I don't know. I could share that.
The key part of it?
Maintaining, how did we end up? Well, I've
contributing to the maintenance of.
Contributing to the maintenance. Well, let me read it first.
Yeah.
Maintaining to the openness. Contributing to the maintenance of the openness, interoperability, resilience, security, and or stability of the DNS, including policies in the areas described in Annex G1 and G2 in accordance with ICANN's missions through enabling, I think requiring would be better there, responses to lawful data disclosure requests.
So make specific references to those two annexes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what Alex just put on the table was explicitly making reference to these two annexes that are in the mission and bylaws. Okay. All right. Quick reactions to that. Milton, Caboose, is that a new hand? No, a new hand. Let's go to Milton, then go back to Caboose.
So, yeah, I think, again, we're trying to turn this purpose back into what it was in the temp spec, which is clearly not going to be acceptable. I think I would call it Alex's attention to the fact that recommendation two specifically calls out the consideration of intellectual property infringement and DNS abuse cases as a basis for disclosure. And I think that's a satisfactory resolution of this issue. We're talking here about a general purpose for ICANN, many of us are uncomfortable with that to begin with, remember, and it among the purposes got the least amount of support. And when you're saying that invoking specific annexes in the bylaws as part of a purpose, then I think you are, stretching the consensus way beyond the breaking point. So I would be, if I were you, I would focus more on what goes into Recommendation 2, although, again, I think you have already got what you need in Recommendation 2.
Can I just quickly respond?
Absolutely. Just quick response, and we'll go to Caboose. Yep.
Again, the use of just SSR, to me, from what I understand of people's interpretation of that, rules out IP interests in the purpose. So I understand we'll be considering it in Recommendation 2. Actually, Recommendation 2, I think, is fine. I agree with that. I'm concerned that the text that we're working on now for Purpose 2, basically straight up front, day one, rules out any IP interests because SSR is very specific and narrowly interpreted.
So I'm going to go to Caboose, but then, Diane, I'm wondering if I can come back to you since you were involved in the group that crafted that initial language and maybe help answer Alex's question from at least your point of view for IPC. Caboose?
I'm sorry. I think we're breaking the rules of ad hoc or a small group getting together, working for 45 minutes, having something, and all of a sudden, a stranger in the lunchtime, somebody comes and brings the issue of openness and interoperability, which I fully agree, but has nothing to do with the disclosure of data. So I suggest we delete this so and go back contributing to the maintenance of starting with stability, security, and resiliency, and so on and so forth, and not reverse that and not put or. It's not or in between. This is taken from bylaw, but from other contexts. So I do not agree with the inclusion of openness and interoperability in this text relating that to the disclosure of data. We should go back what we have agreed before lunch, and that is respecting the people, getting together, giving a lot of concession, and now all of a sudden somebody comes and changes that. It is not fair. I'm sorry, it is not fair.
Thanks, Caboose, for particularly laying out the concerns about those two words. I will say that nobody agreed to anything before lunch. We came up with some creative ideas, and we're playing around with those ideas. So we're not in a zone of where there were some pre-agreement, okay? This was just a space of putting some ideas down on the table. Kurt, you wanted to say something?
Thanks. Alex, I want to bring your attention to the original initial report where it relies only on SSR in the recommendation 2 that we published. So, you know, I'm personally of the opinion that that's why we beefed up. That was the original concession. We skinny down purpose 2 and beef up recommendation 2, which is what I think we did. And Caboose, thanks for your intervention. I think that you know, this isn't a paraphrase that's in here. People were looking for a precise bylaw language, so it's a direct lift from the bylaws, which is exactly right. Benedict answered your question, gave you a precise example of why interoperability belongs there. Maybe openness doesn't. We can take it off, but we should settle on that. So with that, you know, we have pretty good – this is pretty good. I thought the other one was pretty good. I don't know if you want to put them up side by side.
Yeah, we definitely could.
Or just
we have extra papers.
Yeah.
We also have papers with the copies if anybody wants it.
Yeah. So, again, we've got different options in front of us. We're playing with words to see if we're addressing concerns. So, folks, I really want to laser in, and I'm going to go over all these cards that are over here, laser in on this. How do we resolve this issue of how we're referring to the bylaws and the mission, okay? How do we make, you know, let's see if we can find some solution. We've got another 5 minutes or so to do that. Alan and then Mark. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Alan Greenberg. We got to the stage where we were drafting something new here to try to come up for a purpose which clearly makes this an ICANN purpose and why we're doing it, and the justification for why ICANN can later take the unified or whatever we're going to call it access model and impose it on contracted parties. If I remember correctly, that was the logic we got here. I suspect the words in this statement right now are not going to be wide enough to do that. May I finish the sentence, Milton? That's correct, you are. So I suspect after we actually build that access model proposal, we may have to come back and refine this. But this is good enough to get us past this door right now. I think there is general acceptance. We might have to come clean this up after we finish phase 2. Phase 2 will give us an opportunity to present things to the board. Let's take this and go on and move on to some of the other subjects. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And to be clear, when you say this, you're talking about an earlier version that doesn't have these two extra words. It just has SSR.
No, I'm talking about the one that was there, but I probably could accept something else as well.
Okay.
I do have a problem if it is only SSR because in one model it was, because that is not going to build a business case for why this is part of ICANN's, why this is an ICANN purpose for the access model. Perhaps combined with purpose 6 or whatever it is on the intellectual property ones, it would be. All I'm saying is we're closing. We may have to refine the words. I think this is good enough to move on.
Okay. We got Mark. We got Hadia. We've got Milton. Mark first, please.
Mark Sonzarek. My concern is very similar to Alan's, and I wish we hadn't jumped from here to from the other options.
Should we pull up the other ones?
I really wish we would because I didn't.
Let's do it.
Can I ask for just a clarifying thing? If you're referencing another option, if you could just say, you know, group one, option A or B or group two, just so we know, because I'm still not clear which one Alan likes. So if people could help with that, that would be great.
So, I mean, specifically option A with the last sentence of group two alternative or something like that. So But aside from that, and I'm grateful that we can look at that again, I just was wondering, like, where it says enabling, is enabling language that allows us to later create a policy that would enable ICANN to, you know, compel people to respond to lawful data requests? So, I mean, the word enabling seems very weak to me. Now, if we conclude that it doesn't foreclose the possibility of creating such a policy in the future, then I could live with enabling. If we feel like it's in there for the purpose of foreclosing, then I couldn't accept it. And so I'd like some sort of feedback from the room on whether they think that the word enabling closes off that option or not.
Great. It looks like Alan Woods has it. Do you mind, Hadi, if Alan responds to that, and then I'll come to you? Go ahead. Oh, you're not? Okay, go ahead, Hadi. Could you please put your mic on and say your name?
Hadi Al-Minyai for the record. So I just wanted to respond to what Alex said, where he said that he's not sure that adding openness and interoperability would refer to means that we also refer to Annex G1 and Annex G2. And according to the mission here, it says, the mission of the Internet Corporation, Foresight Names and Numbers, ICANN, is to ensure the stable and secure operation of the Internet Unique Identifier System as described in this section, the mission, and it says ICANN, and then it says in this role, ICANN's scope is to contribute the development and implementation of policies for which uniform or coordinated resolution is reasonably necessary to facilitate the openness, interoperability, resilience, security, and or stability of the DNS, including with respect to GTLD registrars and registries, policies in the areas described in Annex G1 and Annex G2. So we have reference here to Annex G1 and G2, and I would argue even with having only security and stability, Annex G1 and G2 is according to the mission statement included. But I do understand that adding interoperability and openness fits more with what's in here. I'm also okay with option A and B as well.
Okay, great.
I forgot Chris. I'm going to go to Chris because he was ahead of you.
Thank you. Two things. Option A says requiring contracted parties to lawfully disclose registration data, and I would suggest to you that is not necessarily the right way to say it because you can't guarantee it's going to be the contracted parties who actually disclose the information. So I wouldn't do that. I would recommend that purpose two, group two's original purpose, contributing to the maintenance of the security, stability, and resiliency of the domain name system in accordance with the mission, through enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests, is sufficient because it clearly says that something will happen that enables those responses. And that enabling could be ICANN responding, a third party responding, or a registrar responding. So my view for what, and this is my personal view for what it's worth, is that that is probably the sensible way to go. Whether you choose to put in openness and whatever else the other thing is, I actually don't think it matters, frankly, from my view. It's just more words for no good reason. But I do think that option A is problematic because it's too specific about who's going to be doing the disclosing. Thanks.
Marika, could you scroll down to the group B's thing, the one that Chris was just referencing, just so we have that in front of us? Keep going. That one. Yep. Okay. So, Alan, Stephanie, and then we're going to do a pulse check of what's an option here.
Alan, what's for the record? So I agree with Chris's take on that, number one. But more to the point, I think we should look, and possibly Stephanie's going to talk about this, because it's Stephanie's suggestion there with regards to recommendation, making it just the recommendation. And I think there's a lot of merit to consider in that at the moment, because an awful lot of our problem at the moment is we're trying to come up with a purpose about something that we haven't really decided yet. And it's very hard to put the cart before the horse effectively in this. And what that recommendation that Stephanie has come up with, I think, is very pragmatic in its approach, because what it's saying is that, look, this is what we recommend to do, go through the process that we all want, you know, looking at this process, this access process, and then if it is necessary at that time to create the purpose based on what we have decided and what we've come up with. And so, don't put the cart before the horse. Don't put in a purpose at the moment with a proviso that it's going to change at some time in the future, likely, and just say, this is the recommendation, let's go through the process, and then accept the fact that this may require a purpose. And then it just makes things a lot easier. It cuts off this entire argument at the moment. Make it a recommendation, as we are to do. Because let's also remember that the purposes that we are creating are not going to be part of the consensus policy itself. It's the background information that is supporting the what we are putting into the policy. The recommendations are the important aspect, to be perfectly honest. The purpose is just the window dressing and the homework that adds to the policy. So let's be clear on that. And I think Stephanie has made a very pragmatic approach there.
All right, Stephanie, you want to say a word about that, and then we'll circle back over here.
Stephanie Perrin for the record. Thank you, Alan. Heart emoji. Now, I was basically raising my hand to say that one of the reasons that there is this uncertainty about exactly what ICANN's purpose is the way to phrase it. When we keep talking about responses to lawful data disclosure requests, there are any number of lawful data disclosure requests that are basically discretionary. Academic research being one of them that just leaps to mind, that doesn't affect the security, stability, and resiliency, and I don't think ICANN has any business nor any remit to get in there and force anybody to make such a disclosure. So we need to go through these and figure out what ICANN's mission is very clear about and what it is not very clear about, and I don't think the IBC needs to worry about this because there is definitely, it's in there, you know. So what we need here is a durable placeholder for that purpose, because I have been more or less convinced by Chris that maybe ICANN, if it's going to enforce this, has to have it, Chris and Ruth, but we don't know yet. And until we sort out that controller relationship, we can't really go any further. Thanks.
Okay. We have like five people in the queue right now. I'm going to go to the five. Can I just press upon you to try to be as concise as possible? Not because we don't care. It's not important what you have to say, just from the sake of managing our time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It's Alex. Yeah, so I think, what do I think? I agree, Alan. I think it's important. So in our small workout group, I tried to take the tact of, let's talk about the requirements of what this purpose should meet versus the details, because I agree that the cart is before the horse, and no matter what we write, we will have to come back, no doubt, and refine and make it better, and that's fine. So a placeholder is good. I do believe that a purpose is required. I believe the purpose should meet the requirement that it allows ICANN to do what Chris described earlier. I believe a purpose should ensure that it gives the appropriate risk and liability cover that the contracted parties require in all of this. And I would rather have a placeholder purpose that is vague and to be filled in later than have a purpose that kind of day one rules out IP interest by simply stating, using the words security, stability, and resiliency of the domain name system, which rules out IP interest. And so if we could come to an agreement where we all agree that this purpose is necessary and do it in a way where we don't have to get into the details, and can move forward, then that would be great. I just need to make sure that I could, when I go back, that I can convince my clients and my stakeholder group that their interests are going to be covered moving forward.
Thank you. Alan G.
Thank you, Alan Greenberg. My only concern, and I'll be very concise, is our purpose in phase one is to provide the board with a policy or the details of a policy to replace the temporary spec. If we ignore this completely and drop it, do we have a hole that we're essentially replacing things in the temporary spec we didn't like with nothing? Thank you. I don't know the answer, but I think we need to make sure what we go forward with is a consistent policy the board can implement.
Okay, thanks for your brevity. Mark, you put your card down. Thank you for your brevity. Chris.
I just have a question. I'm not clear. If you put in a recommendation and the text of the recommendation is this or whatever, how, and you don't have purpose, how do you get a purpose? If you end up with a situation where you've made a recommendation, when does a purpose arrive, and how does it arrive, and what process is used to make that purpose?
Marika?
Sorry, this is Marika. My understanding that is an objective of the phase two, because it's specifically called out in the charter that work needs to be undertaken on that standardized access model. And my understanding would be that as part of that, if a purpose is needed, that would be defined and, you know, adopted as a policy recommendation, similar to how that is done, how we are discussing it currently.
So why do we need any purposes then at this stage?
Okay, Caboose, appreciate brevity if possible, please.
I think we are turning around ourselves. The text that we had before us at the beginning of this meeting was to maintain, or somebody proposed to ensure. And relating that, stability, security and resiliency to the disclosure of data, which is not the case. So we introduce the word to contribute to the maintenance of, that is the first element that we have addressed. It was good. Then it was some sensitivity with respect to a direct reference to the third party. We take it out, and there is no third party here. So, well, now we come back and introduce new things. So maybe the 3 days working group should be 3 weeks. If every minute we bring new elements and new discussions, we should have some sort of agreement with each other that we cannot meet requirements of everybody. We must have some sort of agreement with each other to see what is possible and what is not possible. Once again, I have difficulty to start the sentence with ensuring or maintaining and link it that to the disclosure of data. By this contributing, I'm okay. The last part, not reference to the third party, I am not happy, but I could live with that. But I am not very happy to refer to interoperability and to the openness, while both of them are a valid point but has no connection on the disclosure of data. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, guys, this is what I recommend. Oh, Diane, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like we came so far and we were so close,
yeah,
to having agreement, and I just want to see if we could circle back to getting something simple that really aligns with most people's middle ground. So it would be option A, but just changing a little tweak to the language in line with what Chris had said. So it would say, ensure that ICANN org can meet the requirements of its mission and bylaws by requiring responses to lawfully disclosed registration data.
Requests.
Say it again.
So it would say, ensure that ICANN org can meet the requirements of its mission and bylaws by requiring responses to lawfully disclose registration data requests.
Okay, so there's been a lot of pushback on the word on insure. There's been a lot of pushback on the word insure, so I wonder if there's a version of that that doesn't involve that. But,
What's wrong with insure? Who has a problem with insure?
This is not, I think someone's editing this on the fly, but this is not what's being edited.
No. If you go up, if you scroll up to version A.
Yeah. Go up to version A, option A. Ensure that ICANN.org can meet the requirements of its mission and bylaws by requiring responses to lawfully disclose registration data requests.
Now, the word disclose is superfluous, but other than that, it works.
Lawful disclosure, I don't know.
Okay, guys. Wow. So now we got like all these different options. I feel like one of the things.
Simple, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what we need to do, folks. We actually need to sort things out. And we're going to look at a couple different options that test this language of insurer, test it with SSR or without SSR, and then test the version that Stephanie put out in terms of putting all this in a recommendation. And then we're going to do some quick check-ins about what people can live with and what they can't. And then we're going to say this is the end of the road, right? And so let's take a 10-minute break so that we can get this ordered up. Yeah? And because otherwise we won't be able to get the order. Yeah. I would love to take that break and get organized and come back, and we're going to do some quick checks of the temperature of what people can live with and not live with, all right? And then we'll see if we have at least a pathway forward among these different options that people could actually live with, all right? So let's take a 10-minute break. In that break, we can, if you need progress on. We're going to take 10 minutes, and we'll be right back to you.
period, people worked up some more language, and we're going to try to test it again.
Can I, is that better? Okay, could I ask everybody to start looking? We want to do a little pulse check with the keypads in a minute, but on the break, some folks put together this option, which is assist ICANN.org in meeting the requirements of its mission and bylaws by enabling responses to lawful requests. Support ICANN.org. Okay, support ICANN.org in meeting the requirements of its mission and bylaws by enabling responses to lawful requests for registration data. Anyone in this room who can't live with that? Alan.
I'm not sure how an ICANN purpose can be support ICANN.
Oh. Mark? What? Support the ICANN mission and bylaws in meeting the requirements of... Oh, no, it says... That has mission and bylaws in twice. That doesn't work. Diane and then Stephanie? Oh, you're not up? Oh, Mark, I thought you just went. Okay, Mark and then Stephanie.
So the way we worked through this is we thought, what does the data do? The data supports ICANN. What does it support it to do? It supports ICANN to enable responses. So we didn't really have a problem with using ICANN in ICANN's name in the ICANN purpose. We agree that, you know, this language is a little clunky, but we think that it is factually correct.
Stephanie
Perrin, for the record, I don't believe that enabling responses is meaningful here. Somebody tell me what it means, because if I was a data controller or data protection authority hearing this as a purpose, I would assume that ICANN was setting up a system and had hands-on to the data. That's objection number one. Objection number two is that, I think I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again, there's any number of lawful requests for registration data, and not all of them are part of ICANN's mission. Academic being only one example. There's umpteen others that are related to law enforcement, but that are not related to security and stability of the system, i.e. looking for missing persons, Humane Society activities, you know?
Okay.
Doesn't work.
Okay. Are you responding to Stephanie? Okay, Mark's going to respond, and then I've got Chris.
Yeah, so our consideration is not that this purpose has to address all of those other, so law enforcement doesn't need to be involved in here, right, because they have their own bases and their own extraordinary powers. The focus of this is really on third-party things. Enabling responses does not require the response to be yes. You know, it still retains the discretion. We've added this in because right now we don't get responses to our requests. So this is an actual practical thing to have that in there.
Okay, Chris and then Christina.
So two things. Just to go back to Alan's point, support ICANN.org in meeting the requirements of its mission and bylaws is effectively a change of wording, because some people had an issue with the word ensure, but the original one said ensure that ICANN.org can meet the requirements. So it's perfectly fine to say support ICANN.org in meeting the requirements. That's fine. Secondly, in respect to what this might lead to, and Stephanie's point, I had understood that what we were not necessarily with this specific wording, but generally speaking, before lunch, what we had talked about was agreeing some wording of a very sort of loose, of a rough purpose like this, with a recommendation. And then there was a recommendation on this piece of paper that I've got here, which goes into some significant detail of what this would look like from the point of view of a policy. And that surely would be the answer to Stephanie's question, which is that the recommendation makes it very clear that there are only certain matters which would in fact be the subject of this purpose. So I had thought that that's how we dealt with that before lunch, and I don't think we should lose sight of that at this point.
Thanks for that reminder, Christina.
I should note at the outset that I have a preference for the Group 2 Purpose 2 alternative, and I think what I'm really struggling with, and I think we need to be able to answer this definitively, clearly, and easily is, I'm looking at this and saying, if someone asks me what requirements of the mission and bylaws are we talking about, no idea. And more specifically, and this goes to a comment that I put in the chat, I don't think it's accurate to say that taken alone, enabling responses to lawful requests for registration data meets whatever those requirements are. In other words, it might be part of it, and I guess where I'm going with it is that I think the language is broader and vaguer in a way that doesn't necessarily help us. Sorry.
Okay, Milton, briefly, and then we're going to go to David and I think do a quick check. Are you still up again, Chris? No, okay.
Well, I agree with Christina that I prefer the original revised Purpose 2 that we came out of before lunch. However, I don't think this one is so bad. I just want to argue uncharacteristically with Stephanie a bit. The fact that we're enabling responses to lawful requests for data registration data does not mean that every answer to every request is yes. And by enabling, that word was very carefully chosen in the original group. We mean essentially that we are sort of authorizing ICANN to develop a policy about that, which I think we all agree we want to do. I also agree with Chris, for once, that we need to look at this in connection with Recommendation 2, because that gave us greater specification. So I really don't think we're moving forward much by picking at things that probably don't have much consequence. We just need to have one of these two purpose to, you know, in there and move forward with the recommendation where we get into phase two.
Thanks, Milton, for that. Appreciate it. Okay, everybody should have a keypad if you're a member of the team. Does everybody have a keypad?
Okay.
think that's it, folks. Anybody need more time? Anybody need more time? Have 71% saying they can live with it. 29% saying they can. Altered version of what this group started, you know, ended up with before lunch. You can't see it very well.
Getting rid of making it.
Where we're at. Anybody left to vote?
We're not voting. Taking a pulse.
Yeah. Anybody left to push the button?
Anybody still have a pulse?
Anybody still have a pulse?
be. I'll be clear about my own decision. My decision is that I really like the text, but I really think that we should have something in purpose too now. So I can't, so logically, I have to vote. I have to vote C.
Cool.
Sorry,
but
I, shame.
Then go against it, because if you need something in purpose too, this isn't your thing.
Okay.
All right, so folks, the reason for taking the pulse like this is to show, like, where do we want to even put any more energy into this, right? I feel like we've been around and around and around, right? And we're all clinging for what is our perfect solution. Many of us have done a ton of work, right, to try to – many of you have done amazing work trying to solve each other's problems. And now we're going to have to decide if we want to try to go any further or we're not going to be able to solve this. It seems to me, as with you, oops, that with the 10%, you know, again, we're not actually looking at exact numbers, but with the smallest number of I can't live with this is here, right? Okay. So I just want to check for folks who can't live with this, like, if this is it, this is the last hurrah. We got no more time here. For folks who are in that 10%, at the end of the day, if this is the only thing you got, are you still going to answer, I can't live with this? Right? So I'm opening this up to the folks who said, I can't live with this, to say, if this is what this group goes forward, is there one last thing we could do, anything else, before we just move on, and you'll just have to register that as a sort of minority opinion. Stephanie, with a mic, please.
We could always, Stephanie Perrin for the record, vote again on my proposal, assuming that it is a replacement recommendation text accompanying that purpose.
I thought that was a given. If we had a purpose, we definitely have your text.
I think people like your text. I think people
Absolutely.
Like the fact that...
Text is great. Text is fantastic.
Text,
okay.
Right? I think everybody likes the text. I think what they didn't... What was the big negative was they didn't like taking the purpose to. Okay. But what you're saying is you actually feel, as long as your text is there, you're feeling more like you could live with this.
No, I think... you know, I mean, I don't think it's wise to put a purpose in before you figure out who the controller is.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of question primordial, as I keep saying. But if you're, I mean, who am I? I'm only one vote.
Yeah, okay, great. Alan, Alex, again, we're at that place. If you said you couldn't live with this, right, did you say you couldn't live with this?
No, I didn't, but I'd like to be able to say something.
Okay. But that's the point. Like, we got to really...
I understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
I would like to understand why people can't live with the other one also.
I think that was the purpose of doing this, was, like, focus in. We're done. We're at the end of the road here.
But
okay?
I would invite people at the break, maybe, to go... At the next break, maybe you could communicate to Alan why... You
yeah.
didn't like that other one. I
but
mean,
not in the spirit of revising.
Not in the plenary.
Yeah.
Not in the plenary. Yeah.
Okay, Alex, talk to us here.
So, surprise. I for this one, I voted can't live with it again because the purpose is currently written does not allow access, does not enable responses to lawful data disclosure requests for IP interests because SSR does not include IP interests. That's the concern. And I'm happy to be convinced otherwise, but this is how I've seen things. If I'm being overly sensitive here, let me know.
Okay.
Why did
right.
six not cover it?
Okay. So, all right, folks, we're in this zone. The vast majority of people in this room are ready to move on. Okay? The vast majority of the people in this room, and what we're trying is probing for that full consensus by seeing how, if there's something else we can do to solve these problems. Thomas.
something completely different. I have lost track whether our discussions here are addressing all the public comments, you know, because we're here to analyze public comments. So I'm not sure whether somebody in our support team has followed this. I think we've covered a couple of points with what we did here, but I think we should just ensure that we have addressed this appropriately.
That's great. And I will remind everyone that we've started all of these conversations by reviewing the public comments and reviewing a summary of the public comments. And so that has been the stepping stone for all of these deliberations. Alex, did you want more? No. Okay. Georgios.
Yes, just in response with Alex's concern, I think here we need to take into consideration that this, if this is the purpose that we are going through, and we take in also the recommendation as it is drafted now, and there is also the part of the recommendation that refers to the IP requesters. The question for me that might alleviate your concern is this enough? Is this enough, this combination, for your community as a guarantee that if they pass later on the access model and they prove that they have the lawful basis to do so, that they can do so? I think this is what is the question for you or not. And for this, again, I'm seeking more legal, somebody with more legal background to answer that.
Okay. Let's give this a quick round. That's a question over to this side of the table. Don't forget that question. I want to go to Caboose, who put his hand up. And Ruth, you want to weigh in on that? Okay, great. Caboose, and then we can go.
Yes, David, you have drawn us to some sort of the temperature measurement.
Yeah.
You have done that. The only thing before you is that those who cannot live with that could express their views in one way or other.
Yeah.
We can't go back and we cannot restart again by amending. It's impossible. Procedure is like this. Otherwise, we cannot have any trust on any future actions because you take in the temperature, whether you call them poll or vote or whatever, but that is done. Now, those who have against that, they could express their views, and that will be recorded somewhere if necessary. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So let's just quickly check in that spirit of we are not going to get sucked into a big revision moment here. But Ruth, do you want to make a comment here?
Well, in the light of that comment, I'm not sure I'm allowed to. But there's a small drafting change that could be made, which I think would help with a point that Stephanie made. So one of the points that Stephanie made is that lawful data disclosure requests could include things which are nothing to do with ICANN's mission. And the example you gave was academic requests, which somebody might wish to respond to or might not, but shouldn't be mandated. That could be addressed by reordering the wording. If you reordered the wording to say enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests where necessary to contribute to the maintenance ... then it would keep the spirit of this, but would meet that point.
Point of order?
Go ahead, Caboose.
Sure, Caboose. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Yes. Any amendment should be put to the vote. If it is agreed, then we take that. Otherwise, we cannot. You do something, other does something else. We can't go that, unfortunately. I'm very sorry. We cannot go to that exercise. First of all, we cannot take you as a member. You are legal advisor, that's all. Number one, you are not a member. It is up to the member to decide. But if any member wants to propose an amendment according to the international rules, amendment would be put into the vote. If it is accepted, then the whole text, including amendment, again, go to the vote. This is the procedure at work, so.
Okay.
I'm very sorry.
Great.
I cannot agree with that process.
That
this change making a small change.
Yes,
no. You can't
right.
do that. Thank
Hang
you.
On.
Okay, can I have some quiet?
Caboose, first, you asked we should hear from the people that can't live with it to understand why. And Stephanie was one of the ones that said she could not live with it. So Ruth's comment addressed the concern you had to listen to the people that couldn't live with it. Second, we're investing quite a bit to have Ruth here, and we're lucky to have her. So we chatted before she commented, but I'm really pleased she commented because it actually moved the group forward. Third, we're not going to have votes by people every time, but we're going to get the sense of the room that everybody either approves or doesn't like anybody's intervention here. So, you know, I make interventions from time to time, sadly. So please accept that constructively.
Excuse me, accepting what? Could you put the text that is proposed on the screen? As
yeah,
I
of
see?
Course.
What is the text? Then
of
I should say
will.
I accept or not.
Of course we will.
Yeah. So, okay. So, folks, in the spirit of hearing from those who couldn't live with it, right, which is a very important thing, we want to hear from those who couldn't live with it. We don't need to dissect further, okay? But from those who couldn't live with it, let's hear about that concern, and maybe there's a quick fix like what Ruth says, or maybe not. Margie.
This is Margie. Is there a way to not change the purpose, but in the explanation, the report mentioned that it's not intended to preclude intellectual property interests? So in other words, we're not changing the wording, but we're just clarifying Alex's concern that he feels that intellectual property purposes seem to be excluded from this purpose.
So you're making a specific suggestion that elsewhere in the document there's a mention, perhaps in Recommendation 2 or somewhere.
Is it not already covered in Recommendation 2 where it says, what are the legitimate purposes for third parties to access registration data? Bullet point, second bullet point in Recommendation 2 alternative text thingy. Does that not cover it? It's not specific, but it says that one of the things that will be done is to figure out which third parties will have access.
Let's give Margie a second to think about that. Let's just pause for a second. You're on. I wouldn't do that just yet. Not quite yet. Not quite now. No. Okay. Again, hang on one second here. Margie, you want to come back on that?
Sure. The reason why I suggest we do it in the description of this purpose, we're not changing the words, but when we explain it, is because we don't want to get to the point later on in purpose 2, recommendation 2, where someone will say, well, intellectual property purposes aren't included in purpose. So we just want to ensure, tie them together. So it's a footnote or something, but I want to avoid the argument later on that intellectual property interests were not intended to be considered in this purpose.
If we were to create a footnote in recommendation 2 exactly where it makes reference to intellectual property, right, and in that footnote you say the intention of the EDP, whatever you guys are called, EPDP group, right, is that purpose 2 includes intellectual property, right? That's what you're saying. Okay. So, and
you want to
could
say it does
include,
not does not
does not
pre-
preclude
does
not preclude. Okay. No, it would be in the recommendation. So this is what we're going to type this up in just a second, folks. So we're not missing anyone. All right. So what we're saying is to address the concern of someone who is in the 10% here, we can add a little footnote in the recommendation when it talks about intellectual property, right, to say. EBDP, when it wrote Purpose 2, did not mean to preclude IP in the covered under principle Purpose 2. Okay? So I can write that up. Okay? And then the other issue that Stephanie brought up would be flipping this thing on its head. I don't know how much you guys care about that. It feels like more dramatic surgery that I don't want to do. So I think it's okay, yeah? Okay, so let me just say, maybe we can do it on a flip chart, actually. So what we're saying, folks, is we keep this as it is. We keep this as it is. Now, were you someone who voted and said you couldn't live with it?
I'd like to see the proposed text of Margie's amendment.
Exactly. We're going to write it up on the slip chart.
Wonderful. I can't read that on a screen if possible.
Okay, we'll put it on the screen.
Thanks. Sorry.
Okay. Can you do that? Okay. All right. Folks, so the proposed language, and help us out, Margie and others, with this, in a footnote on recommendation 2, where it makes reference to intellectual property, we say, right, in Rec 2, you guys ready for it? Who's going to help me do this? The EPDP team, or just, you don't even need to say that. You can say, just say purpose 2 does not preclude.
This is not meant to preclude, this does not preclude IP interests.
Purpose 2 does not preclude IP interests. Okay. Marika?
Thanks, David. This is Marika. I'm just looking for a clarification because we've earlier discussed, or everyone likes Stephanie's language. Is that intended to replace existing recommendation 2, or it's an addition to it? No, not the footnote. I'm talking about previously we spoke about Stephanie's recommendation. Is that an addition or it's a replacement? We're just needing guidance here for what we put in the report.
Yeah, that's we're going to deal with that in just one sec. Okay. First, we're going to get this, and then we'll do that.
Okay, so the footnote will go
wherever,
whatever is
in whichever
decided.
Version.
Okay.
Could we, be more precise? So the current wording of the old recommendation 2 says the EPDP will consider disclosure in the course of intellectual property infringement and DNS abuse cases. I would have the footnote, intellectual property interest is a very vague term, so I would say purpose 2 should not be construed to preclude disclosure in the course of intellectual property infringement.
Okay. Great.
Should not...
That work over there?
Purpose 2 should not be construed to preclude...
I can't see it.
We'll get it
okay.
bigger.
Hang on one second. We'll get it bigger in a second. Let's just get it up there and we'll get it bigger.
To preclude...
I'm sorry, could I...
To preclude, you're missing preclude there.
We're not voting.
Don't interrupt us. Let us get this, and then we can vote on it. So purpose 2 should not be construed to preclude disclosure in the course of intellectual property infringement.
Course of investigation.
In the course of investigating. Okay. So where this goes, folks, and Benedict, guys, excellent. Okay. Am I in the way? Sorry. Okay. Where this... So there are two options there. Essentially what we're doing is when we mention intellectual property in Recommendation 2, we create this footnote and we say this, one of these two options, okay? First one's not English. So maybe we'll just stick with the second one. If the folks over here are okay with the second one, we'll stick with the second one. Yeah? All right, guys. Okay. So what we have now, folks, in front of us, and Benedict, do you need to ask something or comment on something? Right. You okay with that, Milton? Just take out a couple words. Fine? Okay, great. Okay. Then if you still want to say something, are you good? Oh, okay. Well done. Okay, folks, this is what just happened, all right? We have an open question mark about how recommendation two ends up looking given Stephanie's additional proposed text to that, right? But what it feels like we're okay moving forward at this moment is with a combination of that, what's on slide number three now, the version of contribute to the maintaining version, yeah, of our purpose is contributing to the maintenance of, et cetera, and we marry that with a footnote. Okay? Do you guys need more time? You good? We're good. Okay, so we're good over here. And so this is my question. For all those who said they couldn't live with purpose two, by adding this little footnote, right, this version of purpose two, by adding this little footnote, are we able to move on from this? Are we able to move on now? Okay. Trey, I'm so sorry. Trey, please go ahead.
Thanks, David. Just have a clarification question for the team. The part of the purpose two text that says enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests. Yes, that part. Does the team envision that this language cover requests for public WHOIS data? Or is this only in reference to the non-public data?
You need a mic.
You wouldn't need to.
The term disclosure implies that it's not public.
So I guess my follow-up question would be, as disclosure is a processing activity, isn't a purpose required, even if it's a disclosure of public data?
Public data would not involve a request because it would be public and redacted. And so I don't believe it needs to be subject to this or GDPR. Go ahead, Emily. Rescue me.
My understanding at the present time is that personal data is redacted from the public WHOIS. Therefore, everything that is publicly available is not personal data. And is not covered by the GDPR, and is not within our scope. Oh, okay. But it's not, so it doesn't engage the GDPR.
Right, so maybe, I guess we haven't gotten to a discussion around consent, because I think under certain circumstances, the registrant could consent to have additional personal data published. Is that correct? And if so, does that now require a purpose?
So, folks, let's run this out for a little bit, because what ICANN's putting on the table is there are situations when you've consented to have your personal data out, and then all of a sudden we're in GDPR land, and this is not dealing with that particular issue. Okay. Yeah. Alan.
Otherwise redacted. Insert otherwise redacted in the appropriate place there, and it only applies to stuff that is not public.
I have a strong reaction against making any changes at this point to this. If we need to add something additional to deal with ICANN.org's concern, we can add something additional. But I'm very scared about changing this right now. Milton and Stephanie, and then Heidi?
I've had this up for some time, but I thought that nobody objected to the legal counsel's proposed switching around, which clarifies some things without, I think, doing any major change in the nature of the purpose, so that it would be enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests where necessary to contribute to the maintenance of SSR of the domain name system in accordance with ICANN's mission.
Okay. So that's a separate thing than what Trang's saying, okay? So
sorry, David. I just want to clarify. We don't have issues with this language. All I'm saying is that, you know, there's also this other activity that we're doing in terms of disclosure of the public data, some of which may contain personal data that will need to have some kind of purpose to cover, whether or not it's covered under this purpose, which is why I asked the clarification question, or under some other purpose. But we don't have any issues with this language.
Okay, great. Thanks. Stephanie? James, Margie, oh my goodness. Okay. Wow, I really wish I'd close this off and then move into this particular problem.
Well, let me do that.
Yeah, so guys, hang on. Okay, wait. I just want to do, Trang, I'm going to park your particular issue right now for the moment, and we're going to close this off, and then we're going to come back to dealing with that, okay? So guys, before we go down that road, all right, I just want to say, can we all, while it's not our favorite thing, well, we might be able to flip it on its, you know, flip it in the other way around. Can we all just work with this and move on? Yeah? Because I really worry we could go many more rounds of twisting and turning and flipping. So I would strongly encourage.
So at what point did we consider or not consider the
Ruth?
Ruth.
Well, we can consider right now if you think that's important, Kurt.
I think that's important.
Okay. So. Yeah. Okay, so hang on one second. We're going to flip it and take a look at it.
What does it say? Where?
In order to or something?
Here, it's in the chat. I don't have the chat, I'm sorry. We're not on the chat.
Oh, Skype?
No.
No, just say it.
Just correct it.
Please.
It's enabling responses.
We've got it.
Oh, okay. Where is it? Where necessary. To contribute to, is there any other change?
Yes.
There.
Well, yeah, just
contribute to the
maintenance. Not fine?
Of the security stability.
Okay, so now we got a problem because we're necessary, right? We all could agree before, and now we got a problem where necessary, okay?
No qualifier.
So what happens if we just eliminate where necessary, is what you're saying? I don't know what we're doing. I don't know, honestly, but it's okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at this for a second, folks. Let's look. We were able to walk forward with the other one. Are we able to walk forward with this one, too? Can anybody not walk forward with this?
Well, I can't tell whether necessary.
It's not there. Then we don't have it. We don't have it then. So let's go back to the way it was. And
can I make a...
Microphones, please.
How can you ignore legal counsel's advice and remove where necessary when that was part of the suggested phrasing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. You can't just take somebody's word and take it out.
What I'm saying, okay, folks, I know, exactly. Okay. These are very frustrating moments, but we're going to work through them. I have a high degree of confidence we're going to work through this. Okay, listen, folks. Let me just say what was happening. We were able to walk forward with it flipped around the original way. There was a suggestion to try flipping it this way, and in the end, that suggestion didn't allow us to walk forward. Okay? Maybe some of us prefer it flipped, but it doesn't allow all of us to walk forward. I heard over here these folks were not ready to walk forward with that language of where necessary. I don't know. Why don't you... No, I think we might need a break, folks, because I feel like we're in like a zone where we're a little frustrated. But, yeah.
Okay, can we just hear, I think, I know that folks are getting tired. For those who were uncomfortable with the top, with the change suggested in response to one of the concerns we raised, is that, could someone just speak to the concern, so just so we understand it, one person. Was that what you were going to speak to, James?
The where necessary.
The where necessary. Is there anyone who could speak to the concern on that, just so we understand it? Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, by adding where necessary, it puts us back into the situation where now we have to argue about what is necessary. Whereas before, we did not have to have that argument, and you could simply go to Rec 2 and look at the recommendation. Here, it adds the uncertainty back in about what is necessary and what is not, which is unnecessary since we have a recommendation that already addresses these things.
So I think if you want consensus in the EPDP team, we go with the contributing to the maintenance of the security with the footnote in the recommendation on purpose 2. I think if you want consensus in this group, that's where we end it.
And that's the place where we can walk forward. And we may not like it as our preferred option, but we're able to walk forward with it as a team. And it means that you as a team are walking together.
Just before we start holding hands and walking together, I want to make it clear that my support for that footnote was contingent upon the version of Purpose 2 that was suggested by the legal counsel. So why don't we take a vote about that footnote now? See how many holdouts there are on that.
Sure. Go ahead, Mark.
So my question to legal counsel is, when you suggested the words where necessary, was that simply a convenient and nice-sounding wordsmithing, or when you said that, did you intend to make this distinction that we are now making? I mean, when you said where necessary, was that simply a conjunction, a connection between the two clauses, or did you mean explicitly to add that condition to the purpose?
So when I made the point, it was before the discussion about the footnote had taken place. So it was to respond to the concern that Stephanie had raised that there could be multiple requests. The example given was academic, which people might perfectly well want to respond to, but which were nothing to do with ICANN's mission and therefore should not be potentially given preferential treatment by this provision. So the inclusion of the language where necessary was intended to have a specific meaning because necessity does have a specific meaning under data protection law, and it's intended to mean where it is. It has a concept of proportionality, basically, linked to the purpose. So it was intentional.
Thank you for clarifying.
Caboose, and then, Chris, do you have your thing up as well? Okay. Caboose, did you want to say something? And then Chris, and then we really should. No, it's not. Caboose, please, I've asked, please.
Yes. This is a very fundamental and important purpose. I strongly object to any qualifiers like where necessary. I strongly object. And also object to the process that somebody at the end saying that adding something. We have not asked any legal view on that. We have not asked. So I can live with both of them without where necessary, but I prefer the low one, the contributing and so on, so with a footnote to satisfy the intellectual property. So I have no problem with the second one and the footnote, but I have serious difficulty and objections with the first one, in particular, including where necessary. That is very difficult. Who decides that it is necessary or it's not necessary? It is very, very vague expression. So I oppose to that strongly. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Could I suggest that in the same way that bullet point 2 in what I think we've coalesced around as being our recommendation, which says what are the legitimate purposes for third-party requests to access registration data, that in the same way that the intellectual property people should take comfort from that being in the recommendation, Stephanie should also take comfort that that is in the recommendation, is therefore likely to deal with her point about a suggestion that purposes might, that sorry, that access might come along for things that she doesn't think there should be access. I think that that recommendation is drafted in a way that makes it very clear that we think we've got a lot of work to do when it comes to filling in all of the detail, and it's a fool's errand to try and fill that detail in now in the purpose. So purpose two, as it was originally, which is the middle bit, seems to me to be the way forward. Thanks.
Okay. Who do we have? Adia. Adia Minyau.
Hadia Minyau for the record. So I would like to thank actually our legal counsel for the advice. And I would ask you, when asked why you put where necessary, you said that this was in response to Stephanie's comment that this could actually refer to disclosures not included in ICANN's mission, like research, for example. However, this purpose, without where necessary, has two things. One, it says lawful data disclosure, and then the second, it refers to ICANN's mission. So I don't understand how, without having where necessary, this could refer to disclosures not related to ICANN's mission, when we have here the purpose stating clearly in accordance with ICANN's mission. How can we think that if we don't have where necessary, the purpose could mean that we could disclose data for reasons not included in ICANN's mission? So I think where necessary really adds nothing. The purpose as is speaks about lawful data disclosure in accordance to ICANN's mission. So I would like to hear your legal advice in this regard.
Yeah, Emily's next in line. Emily,
a couple of things. Ruth, welcome to ICANN. Thank you very much for your contributions and your advice, which are deeply respected and I believe personally are given to try and help us along our way. We've got on a practical issue. We've got 10 more minutes of Christina being in this room. She has been holding the pen on recommendation 7. Can I suggest that we take a short break from purpose 2, focus on what I think, I hope, will be a fairly straightforward matter, and we can put... Spoke too soon. But the other Ruth is here. Could we just do that while we still have Christina here and then return?
I totally support that, and I would say to just say we're not done here, but let's look at Christina. Let's look at what we're doing with Principle 7 right now, and we are going to take a break after that. And during that break, we're going to reconnoiter and figure out how we can find a pathway. We are tantalizingly close, right? Less than two words close to doing this. Yeah, great.
And the attorney's coming at 4.
Right. So let's put a pause button to say we are tantalizingly close here, folks. While extremely frustrating that we actually haven't necessarily hit it, we are super duper close. So we're going to put a pause button. Gene and I will help think about how to make some progress on this. Christina, do you want to walk us through quickly before you have to go where we were left off in terms of rewording Purpose 7, in particular the optional, voluntary, all that stuff? And do you want to share something on a screen to do that?
Could Marika, could you please change the screen?
You can take my screen off.
And go back to Marika on the Adobe Connect. And I might just remind you all on Purpose 7, we had confirmed it was an ICANN purpose. We had confirmed that the personal data does not have to be disclosed. Those were two big concerns. We amended the language to and incorporated in registry agreements, and we were going to revisit the clunky kind of stumbling over optional and maybe voluntary. And Christina took on the charge of getting us some language. So to you, Christina.
All right. So the first thing that I did, so what you see here is current purpose 7, just the two bullets that set out the issues that I was asked to address. A proposed revised purpose 7, what I had as a proposed new recommendation, but that I would be totally fine having as a footnote to purpose 7. So taking it in order, the very first thing I did was delete the word optional, because I think it's important to keep the fact that it's a voluntary adoption by the registry operator. So as between the two, it seemed more appropriate to delete optional. I have added "and that are described or referenced in the registry agreement for that GTLD," because after having gone back through the relevant specifications to the registry agreement, it's not technically accurate or complete to actually say that they're that the registration policy eligibility criteria are actually incorporated into the registry agreement. I understand that James has a friendly amendment that would delete "to confirm," and I would be fine with that. So before we go on to my recommendation / footnote, does anyone have questions?
Yeah, I just want to point out that it really it's delete "to confirm" or delete validation "to" or something. It's just clumsy. There's just too many words there. So I just wanted to clarify. I think.
Okay. Any other questions for Thomas? Do you have your hand up as a question? Milton, question for Christina.
Yeah, what about the issue of the relationship between this data and the RDDS or the public database?
I mean, I think here's what I struggle with, because there is no current requirement. Well, I should back up and say we need this independent of the RDDS issue, because the temp spec is broad enough to cover GTLD registration data, which is very broadly defined in the temp spec. So currently it is up to the option of each registry operator if they want to include in the RDDS any additional who is elements. I can, and Trang, please keep me honest here, it's my understanding that ICANN has historically taken the position that the addition of new who is or RDDS elements is considered a new registry service for which the registry operator is required to go through the registry services evaluation policy process. So that, I think, has the potential to serve as a check. And I would also say that in retrospect, if we don't have it in whatever recommendation it is that lists the policies that we then have to go back or that have to be kind of cross-checked in light of this, we may want to add it. Add the RCEP policy to the list of policies that require further review in light of our ultimate recommendations, the GDPR and the temp spec.
So what you're saying is that there's nothing requiring them to put this data in the WHOIS, but some registry operators may do it, and this would be an outcome of an RCEP process?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Christina, do you want to go to the recommendation?
Sure. So the reason I have this additional recommendation, again, I would be fine having it be a footnote to the purpose, is that by tying it back to the "that are described or referenced in the registry agreement" for that GTLD, which was a request that was made in order to clarify that it's an ICANN purpose, I think it's important that we avoid a potential negative inference, namely the potential negative inference that if it's not if the registration policy eligibility criteria are not described or referenced in the registry agreement for that TLD, that they that the registry operator is then prevented from voluntarily adopting such criteria. I'm not wedded to the specific language of this recommendation. I think it does what it needs to do. But again, recommendation footnote, I don't really care, but I think it's important that we put the marker down.
Okay, I'm going to go to Farzaneh on the phone.
Hi, I just want to object to it because we have been repeatedly saying this to the registry, and we never got a justified answer. They never go and refer us to a policy that would ask them to add these additional elements to the registration data directory, and this is a case of expansion of Hewitt's data elements, which I find it very personally very, very risky and unsettling for the registrants, domain name registrants, because we are also coming up with disclosure policies, and I don't think that the registries have gone through have pointed us to any kind of policy or any kind of even like an ICANN org direction that this like RDDS has to include these elements. So I'm just going to object to that. I have nothing. I have no more power to do anything about it. And just that this purpose did not belong to this group. It was not within our mission to discuss this purpose and these data elements. And I think it was just like procedurally wrong as well to bring it up here. Thank you.
Can I respond to that?
Christina can respond, and then I've got Alan and Chris, it looks like. No, not Chris. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Christina, and then I'll go to Alan.
Sure. Farzi, I'm not really – I think we're communicating past each other, because what I am trying to make perfectly clear is that this – does not require the inclusion of any additional data element in RDDS. It is intended to reflect the existing reality in the new GTLD ecosystem, namely that there are registry operators that have added to their contracts provisions that allow them to adopt specific GTLD registration policy eligibility criteria for which it is necessary to validate against, again, given the broad definition of GTLD registration data, to validate against that data that the registered name holder for a particular domain name in a particular TLD does in fact meet the eligibility criteria. We are not talking about RDDS here. We're talking more broadly about GTLD registration data.
Thanks, Christina. Go ahead, Alan G.
Thank you. I have a fair amount of knowledge of the kind of TLDs that Christina is talking about, both the one where it is in the RDDS and ones where it is simply a contractual voluntary contractual clause that they have put in, and I strongly support both of these. Thank you.
So can we check in on that? Is there anyone in – thank you, Christina, for fitting this in, by the way, for doing the language around things. Can we check in? Is there anyone that can't live with the revised Purpose 7 language? Any group, actually. Is there any group that can't live with the revised Purpose 7 language? You need to speak into the microphone, Milton.
Sorry. I'd say we are mixed on this question.
Okay. Move forward. And then anyone who can't live with the recommendation 23 language or footnote, or and if you have a preference on footnote versus recommendation language. Okay, so that's going to move forward, and we will note that one member of, well, I don't know how we do that exactly, but at least one member of the non-commercial stakeholder group did not support the proposed purpose 7. Woo! Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll kind of regroup, but we are expecting JJ at 4 to discuss the memo. It is 4, I know, but we need to take a break.
We're going to take a break.
Take a break. What do you guys want? 10, 15 minutes? Until John gets here?
Let's say 15 minutes.
15-minute break. Terry, you can set up our clock. And thank you all for working so hard. And thank you, Christina. And Christina, safe travels.